Okay, Jim.
10 minutes.
Okay, my question. Yeah, okay.
No, my card was up first.
Okay.
All right, all I want to know is I want to find out, we have now, we have attorneys, we have the structure committees, we have, I think, Dave Adelson's, and we have Harrison Wiles. That those are the four I have, that I think are on the, that I have in front of me. Is that correct? Oh, you might not put yours forth? Okay.
Yes.
But the one we're discussing now is Terry's or the structure committee?
That's right. Now, in order to make this process go along smoothly, I think what we should do is maybe get all of the motions out there.
No.
Okay. That may not work.
No, darn. The only reason I brought it up is because I want to know how many we brought up so I can know which one I'm going to vote for before we actually vote for them.
Yeah, but you will have to actually hear them before you know. The structure committee has one. I'm going to ask before we go to another. I'm going to ask David Adelson if you could, because I know you and I have talked about how this process could go ahead. Could you give us some clarity on the substitute motions that people are bringing forward and how the board probably should process them?
I'm no expert on it, but what the reading I've been doing suggests they... The reading I've been doing, I'm not an expert on it, so I may be wrong in some aspect of this. The reading I've been doing on it is that substitutes function like amendments. So a motion gets put forth, somebody proposes an amendment or a substitution. The board then considers that substitution and may vote to substitute it or not. When they vote to substitute it, they're not voting for that. They're voting to say that's what we're considering. Once they've done that, that can be subsequently amended or substituted, but I believe there's a limit on the number of times that that can happen.
I think twice.
It's twice. But
okay.
I may be mistaken, but I believe that the thing you said about amendments.
Yeah. Okay, we have stack now.
This is a procedural question, but I would like to know about this stack on the motion that's before us. Did I get on that? Because I was trying to...
Yeah, let's read the stack and let's go to that. Let's go through that. The first one is Harrison.
Okay, I'm sorry that instead of speaking to the motion, I'm going to speak to the, I don't know, what do you call it when I'm seeking clarification and I'm trying to straighten out procedure, because I think this is really tricky and it's arcane, but if we get it wrong, horrible things can happen like happened when we adopted our bylaws, and we're in that situation where we have a number of proposals on the floor, and I think the proper manner is we have something on the floor which has not yet been read. We have not read Scherner's motion, the first proposal out of the structure committee, and then we have the substitute motion which has been read. So we need to read the original motion. Now I believe if and when we do substitute a motion, then that becomes a motion on the floor and it can be substituted. And if that happens again, we can have another substitute motion. That process can go on forever. Where the limit is that at the same time, you can't, if I can't substitute for the substitute that is being considered at that time. But once it has been substituted for, it is on the floor, and then the discussion proceeds, and Dave understands, so, and we agree. So everything, we're going to proceed in an orderly fashion. If not, efficiently.
Now, I believe that's true, and that is the process that we will use. I do want to say that this was handed out by Sherlock Luck in Long Beach. It was duplicated again and handed out at Caresen. So it's been read and it's been distributed often. People need to bring back to these meetings motions. So the Sherlock Luck motion is here. I could read it again. I just read it earlier. It becomes a little bit moot because it calls for the outreach committee and the structure committee to bring a resolution to the next meeting, and that did not happen. So now we're looking at substitute motions. You're right. So let's consider the first substitute motion on the floor.
Wait,
that was promoted, was moved by Terry.
That was a committee motion. I voted against it.
I'm sorry?
It was a committee motion which I voted against, so it's not my motion.
Okay. All right, let's go to, let's talk one point of information, then we're going to go to the staff.
I'm really confused. The way I remember this is Sherna passed on her motion, but there was never a vote on the motion.
That is right.
So why are you calling it a motion?
Because it's on the table. It was moved and seconded in Long Beach, therefore it's on the table. But it's probably going to be something substituted, but it is a legitimate motion made in Long Beach, it was seconded, and it was before the body. Okay, I'll read it. Resolved that the structure committee shall work with the outreach committee to prepare a resolution for presentation at the next LSB meeting after May 8th for the formation of a community advisory board that is racially and ethnically diverse, gender balanced, and includes youth, representatives of the labor and low income communities, and other underrepresented communities which are committed to the Pacifica mission. Now, that was moved and seconded, so now we're dealing with motions to substitute for that. I know people here have motions to substitute for it. And the first one that we heard was from the structure committee. And that comes from a committee and does not need then a second because it has standing. It can be now considered by the board, and correct me if I'm on the wrong track here, it can be considered by the board as a substitute motion for Sherman Gleck's motion. Now, is there discussion around that motion? Yes, let's go ahead. Now, let's go to the staff. David.
I think that 48 members potentially, as contemplated in what I heard, is too many, and that people can choose whether they would like to ask an organization to put forth somebody or choose a specific individual. So I'd like to substitute for or to amend what was described by striking the section on and an organization and let each member select one person. And in case anybody's worried about too many substitutes, I do not plan to put this substitute forward. I think this is a fine way to do it and has the advantage that then you don't have votes in which people who were asked get rejected. So the amendment is to remove the business about and a community and an organizational rep.
Is that amendment seconded?
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. Now we have the Adelson amendment, which strikes out each member of the board nominating an organization, but each member of the board only nominating an individual, with, of course, diversity as the goal. Is there any discussion around the Adelson amendment? Yes, go ahead, Alan.
I want to say right off the top, I'd love to have an opportunity to nominate somebody, and that's I like that. It's creative. I thought that was cool. That's it.
Okay, let's go to the staff in case any of the staff want to come. Who's next on the staff? Israel.
Yeah, I may be missing something here, but do we have clarity among ourselves, because I don't, as to the function and purpose of the CAB itself, as against merely the appointive powers, which we apparently are entitled to under the bylaws? It seems to me we need to begin with at least consensual clarity on what is the CAB, what is its purpose, what is its function, and then how much time is involved, what will be the, something of that sort before we say so-and-so should be on it.
Okay.
In terms of their time, their motivation, their interest, in short, we shouldn't get lost in the jungle before we know where we're, how we're trying to get through this maze. Am I the only one confused by this? Or?
I don't know. I went with the assumption that we all kind of did understand. Let's take a moment out. David, do you have something to clarify
that? If you look at the motion that I put forth, which I'm not going to be putting forth depending on how this goes, the first section has the Communications Act description of it. So if anybody needs that, I can give it to you.
Yeah, you should have it in.
Yeah.
Anyhow, my point is we should begin with that before we get bogged down in how many and who and so on.
Okay. And keep in mind, those who got my report from the chair, September 17th or so, we must have a report that the general manager of our station puts out that includes the work of the CAB. And it's a community advisory board, very diverse, that advises the station on issues of diversity, ethnic, racial, sexual orientation, gender balance. It's not just race and ethnicity, although that is what is at the heart of it, but it's all kinds of diversity, and we're mandated to have that community advisory board. So it's a group of community people who are going to be working to advise the station. I'm hoping that we don't have to go into further discussion over what it is so that we can actually create it, because we all know we must do that. Next on the stack.
Leslie. I'd like to offer an amendment to the motion that this body that we're forming, preferably Dave's body of 24 people, remain in existence until October 31st, and that we revisit this mechanism between now and October 31st to plan for a CAB for 2005.
Your motion is to do what until October 2005?
Is to appoint the 24-member group until October 31st, which gives them time to complete their report, and hopefully, in fact, I'll change that we come up with a mechanism to appoint the next CAB by September 30th so that both groups can meet in the month of October and transfer the work over from one body to another, and that we'll have another group in place for the report of 2005.
Okay, I'm not going to entertain that motion. We're going to just put it on the back burner because we have an amendment on the floor, which is Abelson's amendment that strikes wording. So I'm going to deal with the first amendment before we take yours, Leslie. We'll deal with that. We'll deal with it in two steps. The first amendment is Adelson's amendment.
John,
I think both David and I have
into this item.
Point of order.
Okay, David has a point of order. Go ahead.
Apparently, and I didn't think this was the case, but apparently it is possible to amend amendments. Page 126 of Robert's Rules says that that when you're applying it to an amendment, we have to deal with that amendment first, and then my amendment. So if seconded, that amendment would have to be dealt with first.
Okay, I got a slightly different point of order.
People, I don't want to get bogged down in Robert's Rules, I'm just trying to speak here, just so we don't get bogged down. This, to me, would be the simplest way to do it. We have the motion. David proposed an amendment, then Leslie proposed an amendment. Without objection from the body, regardless of what Robert says, I would like to deal with them because they're not head-to-head. In other words, they're not opposed to each other. So just so I can kind of keep a handle on this, I'm going to do it this way. First of all, we're going to deal with the Adelson amendment that strikes the wording, each board member also appoints or nominates an organization. Is there any further discussion needed on that? Or can we go to a
question?
The question's been called for. Is it seconded?
Yes.
It's been moved and seconded. We call the question. We're going to vote on closing debate on the Adelson amendment. Those in favor, raise your cards. Okay, those opposed. Okay, it is without objection. Therefore, let's go to a vote. All those in favor of striking the wording from the motion that each member would also nominate an organization to appoint a CAB member, raise your card. Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Okay, cards down, opposed. Okay, That amendment is now part of the motion, so we're striking out the appointment of an organization. Yeah, we can put it. Now let's go to Leslie Radford's amendment, which actually says that this cap that we're creating would exist until October of 2005.
And that the LSB review the process and make recommendations for the formation of a 2005 cap no later than September
30th, 2004. 2005. Okay. Now, we're now going to go to an orderly. Is that, was that seconded?
Or we could clarify. Are you saying only October of this year?
No. I'm saying that this cap, which makes a report once a year, exists until 1 month following that report, and that we immediately go ahead with forming a cap for 2005 so that we're not in this box next year doing it at the last moment, and the 2005 cap can get to work.
Yes, but just so there's clarity, Leslie, and I'm going to go, you're saying that the cap that we're creating would exist until October 31st, 2005?
2004.
Oh, 2004?
Yes. 2004. And that we, by September 30th, and we may use the same process, but we have to establish a cap for 2005, and they need a year to do their work. There's no reason for them not to start working on this now. This poor body is going to have to do a community needs assessment in 3 months. That's ridiculous.
Okay. Is there a second? I actually wrote 2005 is what I think you said originally. But yeah, but you're saying 2004. Is there a second to that amendment?
Yes.
There was a second?
To the amendment.
Oh, to the amendment. Okay, it's been moved and seconded. Okay, the question's been called for. Those in favor of closing debate on this amendment, raise your cards. Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Then the cards down. Opposed? Okay. So this amendment, the Leslie Radford amendment, would create the cab until October 31st, 2004, and then a new cab would be created in September of 2004.
By the end of September 2004, so they have a year to work on their report for the following September.
Okay. The question has been called. Those in favor of the amendment, raise your cards. 1, 2, 3. Cards down. Opposed? Okay, that amendment. Okay, we should have a count. We should count. I keep the cards up. We should have a count. Okay.
Then may I ask what the term of this cab is?
Yes, sir.
Is the term of this cab indefinite that we're forming? That it'll go on forever?
No, it's not specified.
So it as we are voting for it, it will last until somebody takes the initiative to form a new cab.
That is basically it, or it could be a kind of.
We don't have that process.
We don't have a process, no. So there's no termination date for the cap in the motion. Oh, sure, record. No. Are we on still on the stack for?
We have Margaret and Rachel on the stack.
And Maria. Okay. Margaret.
Honestly, from when I raised my card, so much has happened. I think I may just have to pass. I mean, I find exactly what we're doing a little confusing, simply because there are various proposals, of which I've heard two so far, the one from Sherna and the one from Structure on CAB, but apparently there's some other motions as well. So I wasn't really sure what we were going to be doing, if we were going to be voting on one of these motions, including the one from Structure Committee or whatever, before hearing all of what's on the floor. So I was just confused.
Okay, let's clarify, because that's a very good question. At some point, we may vote to have this motion substitute for the Chernikov motion, but we won't be voting to pass it, because other people may say, I would like to substitute this motion with something else. Okay. Therefore, I believe I'm correct when I say that before we go to a final vote, everyone would get a chance to substitute or amend.
That answers my question.
Yeah, okay.
Thank you.
Let's go to Grace.
I suggest that we leave it the term of the cab open-ended and request that the cab itself recommend to us what they feel their term should be, et cetera, et cetera. I don't want that to be an amendment. I just like to say that I approve of the motion as it stands, and the details can be worked out later.
Very good. Maria.
I like that, and I was going to say if it's a recommendation to the chair to perhaps check the will of the board to see if we should put on to this an amendment of either a year or until the new lab comes in, or to leave it open. But I would request that the chair check what the will of the board is, whether we should put a term on there. And I would say the two terms that we should look at is either a year or until the next LSB begins.
Okay, what the member is asking for, what we call a kind of a sense of the body, it's an informal vote, it's not on the record, it's kind of a, they call
these
it,
are really dangerous, Don.
Kind of vote.
Straw polls are really dangerous.
The member is asking for a sense of the body, just so we kind of know.
Don, why don't you entertain a motion from the floor, from the group? Just entertain motions on each.
Well, make the motion. I thought you just wanted to kind of describe. Make the motion. Do you have a motion to make, Maria?
Well, I have two possible recommendations, and I don't care which way we go. So let's pick one. Why don't we pick, I move to set a one-year limit, amend this motion, setting a one-year limit on the new cap.
Okay, is there a second to that? It's been moved and seconded. Maria's motion is to put a one-year term, in a sense, on the cap that we're creating. Now we're going to discussion on the Armudian amendment.
Second.
Okay, well, the question has been called for. I have not recognized anyone, so the question is in order. The question has been called for and seconded. It takes two-thirds. Let's see. All in favor of closing debate on the Armudian amendment? Raise your heart if you're in favor of closing debate on the Armudian amendment. Okay. Here's the. This is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Opposed. 1, 2, 3, 4. Oh, 1, 2, 3. No, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Yeah. You are down there, Margaret, and the.
Okay, Margaret. Yeah. The call for the question failed, so we're now discussing Maria Armudian. I'm sorry.
Two folks found they're confused. They thought they were going to end the debate, and they were.
Well, did you want to end the confusion? Yes. Oh, we were just voting for confusion.
Okay. We need to call the question vote a second time. Is there confusion? I'm going to call again. If you raise your cards now, you're ending debate on Armudian's amendment. In favor of ending debate, raise your cards. Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, 5, 6, 7. I believe that still fails because it's 2/3 of the votes debate. Any further discussion on Armudian amendment to your turn. Now, let's see. Let's breathe. Okay, and then down here, add one to the swab.
Okay, go on. Which way? Which way?
Yes, it failed. No, it has a two-thirds majority.
John, what is the point of clarification, though?
Okay, you know what? We're going to have to come back to order because my hearing impairment is causing me to hear muffled stuff. I think Madeline Schwab has a point of information.
Yeah. The report from the CAB is due when?
September. Edith said to me mid-September.
September 17th.
So, she mentioned.
If the board is put in place in August, they are deposed 1 month before they're supposed to do a report.
No, that failed. The Leslie Radford motion amendment failed.
One year. And so they're deposed right before their second report.
Right.
So it doesn't really make sense.
Okay.
That was our point, not closing the question.
So that's actually speaking against the amendment. Okay, now let's go to the staff. Harrison.
Madeline just made our point.
Okay.
Which is, let me repeat it, though, because it's crucial. The timing is wrong. The spirit of the motion is right on. We want to establish a term, and the year is the right amount of time. But we don't want to have the term in right before the next report is. So it'll be in the same box we're in this time. So I think that the proper motion is to...
Let me think out loud.
For a second.
You cannot make a motion right now.
Well, I can, but maybe I will.
It is true. Well, I think it is.
But I'm sorry. I can make a motion to amend, I believe. I can amend an amendment and once.
Yes.
Okay, but anyway. But the point is that what we want is for the CAB to be revisited and remade after it makes its final report. And so if that is, in fact, mid-September, then I think the way to word this is that the CAB's term ends after it makes its report. And I think I want to make that as an amendment, that the term of the CAB shall end at the time when its report is complete. We don't want to end it right after this report, so after... The report in 2005.
Okay, now you can actually amend an amendment.
Well, that seems to be what people want. You know, I mean,
I'm going to ask David Abelson to explain what we're doing because I'm hearing a lot of comments from him, but I can't integrate it. Go ahead, David. Well, I just want to.
Yes.
I was just saying that Harrison's right, he can amend, but I was pointing out, I was muttering that we already voted on the idea, on Leslie's idea to terminate it after it does its report, so...
The idea is that not after its first report, but after its second report, and after the next CAB has been installed.
Okay, Leslie. Well, first of all, let's be clear. Harrison, are you making that as a formal amendment to Armudian's amendment?
Yes.
Can
you do that?
Yes, actually, you can. We can, but it's not good. Only because it's getting complicated. If you're making an amendment to Armudian's amendment, then we have to be very precise. Your amendment is that this CAB would dissolve after its report in 2005.
And the next CAB has been formed.
And the next CAB has been formed.
I second that.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. We're now discussing the amendment to our Armudian's amendment. It's the Harrison amendment.
The non-Armenian amendment.
The Armenian amendment.
More amendments, if you. Who's next? Leslie.
Unfortunately, I can't amend an amendment. But I would like to point out that Harrison's amendment asked these people to undertake this task for 16 months.
Right.
That's a fairly long commitment to ask of people, and I would have supported Maria's proposal that we put a cap in place January 1, but unfortunately I can't amend the amended amendment. So I think 16 months is a long commitment for people who are committed to other organizations primarily. I think that's asking a lot of time and effort from them and ongoing meetings, and I think we're probably asking too much. That would be my concern. We are asking people to contribute time to the station here who have not made that their priority.
Yeah, and before we go ahead, I'm just going to say that this can be kind of a thing where if people have to draw off the cab, the board can replace them. There can be a process later for replacing resignations and so on. So there may be some people who can't do it 16 months. We can replace them. All right, now, is there...
Then why don't we ask them to do something they can do?
I'm sorry?
Why don't we ask them to do something they can do? Like,
well, can we not have discussion? Can we just do the staff?
Okay. So is there any other discussion? Okay, let's go ahead. The next one on the staff. Adam. Okay. Next. Go ahead. Next on the staff. Oh, you have a next.
Me. It was me.
Okay. My mind.
Me. Ed is recognized.
Nobody is saying, I think that people should be appointed which will include 2005. The reason being that, number one, anyone that can't continue, of course, will quit, and it can be replaced. However, to think of a new LSD with, let's say, 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 new members coming on board in January 1st or whatever, and the idea of having to face a discussion like this, about, you know, in the face of a whole bunch of people who already know the cast of characters and so on, is ridiculous. And it's a needed board. Some people will be happy to stay if it functions well, you know, for 16 months. I don't think that that's a terrible burden for an advisory board like that. And people can quit. We can, and you know, we can replace them or give the new members of the LSB an opportunity to appoint their own or something. But I don't see that as a thing. And I think that the more we can do, that'll sort of take a massive problem away from us, especially with something like this that's a mandated thing, the better it is.
That's why I wasn't suggesting we put it on the new board that we do it by December 31st.
Right, thank you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, is there a second to the question? Okay, the question has been called, and this question is now called, and we'll go to a vote. We're now looking at a question on the Harrison Amendment. We're not voting on the motion. We're voting on the Harrison Amendment that replaces...
No, we're voting to close the debate.
All right, let's go to Dave, because I hear something again.
We're voting to close the debate.
Yes. Sorry. Can you speak up, Dave?
We're voting to close the debate.
Oh, yes, that's right. But what I mean is, we're voting to close the debate on the Harrison Amendment only, just on the Harrison Amendment.
Point of order?
Yes.
When somebody calls the question, they can specify whether it's just the present question, the current amendment, or the whole series. So she should specify.
Okay, so then if that were the case, let's ask Harrison, do you want to call the question? Or no, who was it? Grace. You're calling the question. Now let me just make clear, so David's point is understood. Okay. She's calling question on the Harrison Amendment, the Arvoodian Amendment, and the motion. Those in favor of closing the debate, raise your cards. All right, opposed? Or we go straight to a vote. We go straight to a vote. Okay. Now let me see if I can explain this, and then we'll take...
Miss your comment.
Anyone who's calling. We're going to vote first on the Harrison Amendment to see if it replaces Armudian's amendment, and And then after we have that, we'll go to the motion itself. And the question will be, should it substitute the Sherman Club?
Point of information.
Now, Israel has a point of information.
On the whole ball of wax or the whole shebang, the case may be. Someone raised the issue, should there be a listener comment prior to this? That's a reasonable question to raise. And I simply raise the question without meaning to upset the apple cart or the shebang or the ball of wax.
Or the shooting match.
That is right. That's absolutely right. There was a motion that passed, the Harrison motion that was at an earlier meeting, that once we get the votes, we would take public comment and so on. So, without objection, now keep in mind the big problem here is that this is not the definitive vote on creating the cap because there may be other substitute motions. So let's consent with the body. Even though this is not the definitive, necessarily the definitive vote, listener sponsors have been listening and can give us their input. Let's consent to the body. How many just a straw vote?
Point of order.
Okay, there's some points of order, so who had it? Okay.
When she said the whole shooting match or 9 yards or whatever it was, the way she called the question and the way we voted it, it means that we would vote even on the main motion. We would go all the way back to that. So having voted on that, it would establish, if we voted in the affirmative on that, that would have established the mechanism for the cab, and any substitute motion at that point would be mooted. So unless we vote it down, there wouldn't be another substitute motion that could come forward, and that's what it means for us to close the question on the whole ball of wax.
That's why I raised the issue.
I've got a point.
I'm going to ask the sense of the body, raise your card if you would like to go to 15 minutes of public comment at this time.
Does that mean that we don't have any public comment right after this meeting?
No, we have a second. This would only be 15. And then we have another 15 minutes later.
You want this?
No, we are not adding. No, we're putting public comment now. But we would have 15 minutes later. Our card's down. Opposed? Okay, we're going to go to public comment, and we want to...
Can I make one key point of order?
Members of the public for being, those sponsors are bosses. These are our bosses going forward. We thank you for being so patient.
John, Dave, what's the process by which we want to respond to public comment when we have that
opportunity? Okay. Yeah. Basically, here's what the chair would suggest. That the public speaks without interruption or comments from the board. But if the public asks a direct question that we can answer for the listener sponsor, at the end of a public comment, I think it's courteous for us to answer specific questions or give specific information that they ask for.
And without taking their time.
But we will not take their time, and we will not do it during the 15 minutes of public comment.
Bill? Is it going to end at 2 o'clock?
Yes, 2:30 or so. What time is it now?
1:35.
Okay, so we need to go through this quickly because we have a couple things, including Sonali's motion, which we're all committed to get through here today. Okay, the public comment will begin.
Okay, my name is Carol Laflamme, and I'm a long-time listener and sponsor. Members of the board, I will try to give a quick background and context for our issue, which is Feminist Magazine and the Women's Coalition, which produces that show. Two letters are in circulation, which if you have not seen them already, I will forward to you. One letter is from listener sponsors, the other from former members of the Women's Coalition. Both letters are self-explanatory and agree that in regard to the program and the group that produces it, the status quo is not acceptable. the Chesler interview on May 26th, and you all have a copy of the transcript, I distributed them. This was not the first time Feminist Magazine interviewed and validated such a racist, ultra-Zionist guest, promoting racist generalizations about all Palestinians and Arabs. Last year, in June, after such a program, a group of us attended the meeting of the Women's Coalition to object to this blatant disregard of the Pacifica mission. They said they would present a less biased viewpoint and guests in future programs on the issue of Israel and the Palestinians. We also asked at that time for equal time for women and black to present a very different viewpoint. But this resulted in many postponements and an unsatisfactory result. The Chesler interview on May 26th was an outrageous, undocumented charge of anti-Semitism on the part of all progressive feminists. On all progressive feminists, Jews, academics, leftists, the UN, the entire Islamic world, and anyone else Chesler does not like. It is all in the transcript. Presenting Chesler on Feminist Magazine was a deliberate and arrogant disregard of the Pacifica mission, and I consider it a disgrace to KPFK and to Pacifica. We would like the matter of Feminist Magazine and the Women's Coalition to be taken up by the Oversight Program Committee and wish to be informed when their next meeting will take place. Thank you.
Thank you.
I just wanted to add to the same issue of, you know, we're here as specifically for this issue, actually. I understand, you know, I've been on local advisory board. I understand that the job of the board is not to deal with programming. And we, actually, I'm happy to say that Eva Georgia is concerned about the issue. I brought it up to her. And it's something that we need to address, however, I think, because in a sense, we didn't have any other committee or any other resources to go to. I would like to also ask Alan Minsky, who has produced that show, to comment on it, because this is not a problem that just started. It's been going on for the last couple of years, and it's very, very important. As a middle, you know, somebody who comes from the area, I very much feel offended. I drive, and I sometimes up on the coast, I have to listen to Clear Channel, and this whole transcript, it's you know, it can compete with Clear Channel and of course Fox, and I value the times and the hours and the minutes on KPFK so much, so because it's so precious, especially at this time, that we don't need to repeat what's on Clear Channel on Fox without challenging it. And it's not like that the Feminist Magazine has not been asked repeatedly about having other views presented, or at least for the host to challenge the three of them. You know, it's in this transcript that the guest goes, well, we agree on everything, so let's talk about those leftists who are anti-Semite, and they're all of them, of course, because anybody who criticizes Israel, you know, I don't need to bring that up because that's not the issue. The issue is give us a resource to deal with it.
Thank you, Tom.
From Women in Black. I'm also a long-time KPFK listener. Actually, I started going to KPFK in 1962. So I listened to this program, and
I was really concerned. The whole issue of the, quote, new anti-Semitism is very controversial, and it needs to be discussed by people who know what they're talking about. I don't think that we should have to listen on KPFK to really a lot of totally unsupported allegations. For example, gender and religious apartheid under Islam, which characterizes Islam, filmmaker Mohammed Bakri did a fictional documentary film about Jenin. The United Nations is one of the chief manufacturers of Jew-hating propaganda. There's a new national consensus born of hatred of the West, hatred of democracy, hatred of the Jews. I guess my question is, are there any standards? I didn't know, really. Are there any standards for programs on KPFK? And shouldn't there be some kind, when you deal with matters that are really controversial and about which there's not agreement, I mean, shouldn't there be a context and a challenge, and shouldn't the programmers be prepared to let the listeners understand that these things, that this is proof by assertion. It's an old technique, but not a well-respected technique, to just say something. You say something is true, that makes it true. So I don't know what the process is for challenging this kind of programming, but I hope that you'll provide us with the process. We're very, very concerned. We don't want to turn on the radio and hear a lot of racist propaganda. Thank you.
Thank you.
First of all, I might briefly suggest that the three of you bring this to the program council. I'm sure we'll be happy to take the question up and begin to set those standards, and I think that's the appropriate venue for it. And if we do a bad job, then...
Speak up!
If we do a bad job of that, perhaps it would be the place of the program oversight committee to determine that we had dealt with that unfairly, but the place for that would be the program council. With respect to the question of the cab that's on the floor before us, I want to address my comments primarily to the members of the LSB who are people of color, and to point out that the process of appointing individuals, that each LSB member would appoint an individual, of course, leaves us in the place of replicating exactly what we have on the LSB itself. I see two Chicanos here sitting on the board, and there's a Mexicano also, Fernando, but the Chicano and Mexicano community and Central Americans and so on make up roughly 50% of our population. How many of you have the roots in the Chicano and Mexicano community to reach out and bring in people to this LSB? How many of you will do it? I think what we're going to end up with is exactly what we have. Vast underrepresentation for the communities that are underrepresented on this LSB. And if we don't, then let me ask you this. If you're a West Side liberal, if I can use the term without being too derogatory, how many people do you know that are from the Chicano community who don't have politics like yours? You know, how many nationalists do you know? How many people into the Mexica movement do you know? How many people who are into Chicano feminism do you know? How many people who are in the Zapatista movement do you know? Can you legitimately claim to the listeners that you have the right to choose the representatives of other communities? See, because this board itself is not balanced by ethnicity. How can you go there? I can't believe that this motion is... Well, no, I can, because I've been in Pacifica for 30 years and in this movement for 5 or 6. Yes, I can believe that this is even being taken seriously, but only because history says that I can't expect the worst. So I would urge you to reject this amendment outright and to come forward with some kind of mechanism that allows for perhaps the 10 Chicanos who were rejected by the white electorate who ran for the LSB to sit on the cab, for example. And the 4 African-American men who ran for the LSB who were rejected by the white electorate to sit on the cab, for example. People who have proven that they have a dedication to KPFK and a concern with it, and proven that they're willing to put themselves forward rather than somebody you pick out of your hat and put in your pocket. Thank you.
Thank you, Rafael.
How many more do we have that
I just wanted to address a couple of points that I have questions about concerning the CAB. Would it be left to the CAB to determine how it will function, or will it be required that it be tied to Robert's Rules of Order, as this board seems to be? I think if so, you'll have a great difficulty in getting volunteers for that kind of time. It's a serious question, and it is a funny one, but it is a huge expenditure of time, and I would definitely recommend that a CAB not be tied to that, and I don't know why this board is. Also, in asking people to be on committees and to give their time and effort and still not have a vote, I think is not fair. I do appreciate the way the vote went on earlier in the meeting when I was able to be here. Thank you.
Thank you.
My name is Lawrence, and I just want to echo what my sister said there. That was a very disgusting show, and for that to be on the air, I'm such a obviously racist, anti-Muslim, anti-Middle Eastern show is a disgrace to what our mission should be about. I understand, and you know, we should have addressed all viewpoints, but that show was beyond the pale. We should not have been. I also would like to address this whole idea of appointing members to the Community Advisory Board. In this age of no big contracts and you know, appointments to places all over the place, and appointments to, you know, president being appointed, I think that this is a slippery slope, and that you have to really fine-tune this whole process, whether you do it within a time limit of 2 months, and then follow it up with soliciting invitations, interest from the community, you know, to come to these meetings, and really promoting it on the air instead of to the internet, and you know, and through phone conversations and all of that, and then further appointing people that you may know. You know, I think it's a real bad precedent. And I also would like to address one more thing, and that is the incessant nature of the way the chair provides a structure report. He's the chair of the structure committee, yet he could rule on his own report. I think you should consider recusing yourself and letting the vice chair chair the meeting when you provide a report on the committee that you chair, because it sets a really bad precedent for everybody else. Well, okay, it doesn't. I appreciate your comments. It doesn't really matter. He's a member of the committee, a committee of three, which is a really compressed committee. Okay, five. So, but he's ruling on his own committee report, and you know, whether you're the chair or you're the mop-up person, it still sets a bad precedent. That's all.